It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Is there a connection between yesterday's national elections and globalization? We're posing that question to Dr. Michael Mandelbaum, professor of American foreign policy at the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies. He's speaking at a public policy discussion and luncheon for the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh on the future of the global economy at noon next Monday, November 10th. And he joins us now by phone. Michael Mandelbaum, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Glad to be with you.
The impact of globalization and the future of the global economy are fiercely debated topics, especially in light of the worldwide economic and political consequences of the financial crisis or Great Recession, if you will, of 2008. Europe's troubled currency and the reduced growth of China, India, and other emerging economies. So as we look to the future, will the world be stable and peaceful enough to enable trade, investment, and immigration to take place on a large scale?
Well, that's a great question. And in fact, it's one of the key questions I address in my recent book, The Road to Global Prosperity, which I will be discussing during my visit to Pittsburgh. And the recent elections, yesterday's elections, may really have a bearing on this. The reason is that the United States is currently engaged in two major free trade negotiations, one with Asia and one with Europe. We have ongoing the so-called trade and investment partnership with Europe. Negotiations and the Trans-Pacific Partnership with most of the countries of Asia, but not China. Those negotiations have stalled because in order to complete them, the president needs special negotiating authority called fast-track authority. And that authority was blocked in the Congress, it has to come from the Congress, by Harry Reid, the Democratic majority leader. Well, as a result of yesterday's elections, Harry Reid will no longer be the majority leader, and the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, who will take that job, has expressed much more sympathy to granting the president this special negotiating power in order to complete these two trade agreements. So we may see a break in the gridlock and logjam that has prevented the enactment, the successful negotiation of these free trade agreements. And that could be very important both for the global economy and for the American economy because it could open up more markets for the United States and help us grow.
What were the concerns that Harry Reid had that led him to block this whole fast track thing?
Well, the trade unions have been very concerned about trade agreements because when we can export more to other countries, and they can export more to us, and low-cost producers can undercut American producers, especially of manufactured goods, which costs us jobs. That's the essential feature of free trade agreements. The country as a whole benefits, but some people are losers, and as I point out in my book, The Road to Global Prosperity, that always leads to a political struggle in which those who are interested in preventing the expansion of trade actually have a political advantage because they're much more concerned and they organize and can block these agreements. And that's what's happened for these two free trade agreements until now.
And when we look at, say, trade with China, for example, there seem to be or there has been to some extent a certain amount of skullduggery on the, for lack of a better word, on the part of the Chinese that has created some concerns here. I mean, what do we as Americans in terms of influencing the people who make policy on our behalf, what do we need to be concerned about and paying attention to?
Well, China has been accused of a variety of unfair trade practices, ranging from the theft of intellectual property to currency manipulation. So that is a very fraught political issue in the United States, and it animates our political leaders to try to put pressure on China through international forums, such as the World Trade Organization, to comply with the global norms of free trade by which the United States abides. In fact, there is a real danger, perhaps not at the moment, but in the future, of a substantial backlash against trade with China, not just in the United States, but in Western Europe. And if there were a real backlash that had the effect of shutting down trade with China or substantially reducing it, that could have a serious and probably negative effect on the global economy. But as I point out in The Road to Global Prosperity, trade and other forms of globalization will always be politically controversial. There will always be a political backlash against trade, because while trade does benefit most people, it does injure some.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Mandelbaum, professor of American foreign policy at Johns Hopkins University's School of Advanced International Studies. Dr. Mandelbaum is an author of several books, the most recent, The Road to Global Prosperity, and he is speaking on Monday for the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh on the future of the global economy. It seems that we are seeing less stability, Dr. Mandelbaum, in the world than we did 20 years ago, when we had the fall of the Soviet Union, the fall of the Eastern Bloc communist countries. It looked as though we were seeing a certain amount of symmetry in terms of the economic approach of the countries of Europe, the opening up of China in terms of China's interest in looking at aspects of capitalism and, as we've discussed, exploring trade. But with recent events in Eastern Europe, particularly with regard to Russia and Ukraine, and other concerns in hotspots around the globe, there seems to be a lot of uncertainty. How does that impact trade going forward, and how we can better manage the world economy?
Well, that's a very important point. The world does look less stable and somewhat more threatening to American interest and to the global economy than it was 20 years ago when the Cold War ended. As you say, we've seen the rise of an aggressive Russian policy toward its neighbors. We've also seen some dismayingly aggressive Chinese moves off their coast. We've seen the Arab world, which is the source of much of the oil that the industrialized world uses, in effect, melting down. And all of that does pose a threat to globalization and especially global trade, because the global economy, like all economies, like every market, whatever its scope, be it local, national, or international, needs a secure political framework within which to function. Traders have to know that they can complete their transactions without being derailed by violence. And the more unstable the world becomes, the less confidence people engaged in trade have, and therefore the less trade there is. So this is a potentially serious problem going forward, which I discuss in The Road to Global Prosperity. And one important point here is that the principal source of stability in most of the economically important parts of the world is the United States. It's the American diplomatic and especially military presence that imparts stability in Europe and in East Asia and also in the Middle East. So as we debate American defense policy and American foreign policy and how much to spend on the military going forward, and that will, of course, be an important debate in the next Congress as it was in the last one, we should realize that what is at stake here is not just the ability of the United States to win a particular war, but also the capacity of the United States to provide the kind of political stability that the global economy requires in an increasingly turbulent period.
Can the United States lead the way in providing that stability when, for the next 2 years, for the foreseeable future, based on what happened last night, you now have a Republican-controlled Senate, as large a margin as we've ever seen in a Republican-controlled House, a Democratic president who is not popular And in post-midterm of the second term is always a difficult last couple of years. It's what they call the lame duck years in some circles. So, I mean, are we in a position now where we can lead when we seem to be in for some level of gridlock in the foreseeable future?
Well, that's a great question. And, of course, we don't know the answer to that question. We'll find out as time goes on. But I think there are some reasons for cautious optimism. First of all, there is a tradition, although not a consistent tradition, of bipartisanship in American foreign policy, and this divided government may fall back on that tradition. Second, the Republican Party has generally been even a little bit more enthusiastic about American global leadership and certainly more enthusiastic about globalization and trade than has the Democratic Party. So the Republican-controlled Congress may well be a force for sustaining the kind of American commitment that has been so important to the world really since 1945. And third, I think, And this consideration applies not just to foreign policy, not just to globalization, but across the board. Both the Democratic White House and the Republican Congress will be under some pressure to come together and accomplish at least some things. Now, that doesn't guarantee that they will, but at least they have some incentives to do so. The president for his legacy, the Republicans, so they can prove that they can govern and retain the majority in the Congress and perhaps even win the White House 2 years from now.
Our guest has been Professor of American Foreign Policy at the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies, Dr. Michael Mandelbaum. He is the author of The Road to Global Prosperity, and we'll be speaking about the future of the global economy at a World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh public policy discussion and luncheon on Monday. That's next Monday, November 10th at noon at the Fairmont Hotel in Pittsburgh. Dr. Mandelbaum, it's been a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
My pleasure, and I look forward to meeting some of your listeners in person next Monday.
I'm sure they're excited to meet you. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Our sister station, WYEP, invites you to their 40th year celebration, Backstage Batch. That's coming up on Thursday, November 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Renaissance Pittsburgh Hotel. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.